Leslie with Martin Bester.
Emma, good to see you.
It's so lovely to be here.
Emma Sadlier in studio with us this morning. I know you're busy and thank you for your time. And probably busier than ever because these issues are just bigger than ever. I'm talking about social media stuff. I'm talking about AI. You must be so crazy busy.
It's an absolute minefield at the moment. I mean, just when you think we've heard it all, then something new comes out. So I'd say at the moment, the thing that's keeping me the busiest is these deep fake apps.
What's up with that, man? It's so real.
I know, it's crazy. So I think a lot of people heard about what happened to Taylor Swift a couple of months ago, where there was a deep fake adult video created.
Mm-hmm. Can I take a step back? Because we often use these phrases and not everyone knows what we're talking about. What is deepfake?
So what the context I'm using it in is when somebody takes your image. So it's an extension of what we call image-based violence, which can be a whole lot of things. It can be revenge pornography, sextortion. It can be bullying at school. Somebody takes your face and turns it into a horrible meme or a horrible sticker. But what we're seeing so much of is private sexual content being created, which is fake because it's sort of a fancy Photoshop, if you will.
But it looks real.
And Taylor Swift said herself she watched that video, and she couldn't tell that it wasn't her. And
what?
That video was posted on X, Twitter, and was viewed 47 million times in 20 minutes. You know, what Twitter did was that they made her name unsearchable. It's the closest thing I've seen to a panic button from lawyers at any of these big tech firms. And I think that's brought to the fore the conversation. But to be honest with you, what I'm seeing is that this is happening to children, even primary school children. Literally, my phone has rung every day in the last month from a primary school to say these kids are turning their classmates into pornographic photographs.
By using AI, by using Photoshop.
Exactly. There's an app. I don't even want to mention the app because there may still be some children in cars and I don't want more people to find out about it. But there's an app that is so easily available and all you need is a photograph of somebody looking at the camera.
How do we do it. How do we deal with it? Can we ban an app like that?
Well,
because an app like that can't be healthy for anyone.
Of course they should be banned. You know, people are clever. The internet is awash with different tricks of how to get around the system. But I think the most important is teaching our children to be good children. You know, and I know that it's hard at that age because it's almost like there's a humor element. I think that we need to teach kids that firstly, it's a criminal offense. If you distribute private sexual photos or videos of somebody without their prior consent, it's a 300,000 rand fine and 4 years in prison.
But how do you get to that point?
Well, you can...
Is it a lawsuit?
Not even a lawsuit. No, thank goodness.
Oh.
The way it's formulated in South Africa is that it's a criminal offense. So that's really where we're dealing with adult content. So if you send me a nude and I send it to somebody else, that's a criminal offense.
But that's big news. Hold on. Yeah. We have to unpack this. So let's say, for instance, someone has made an explicit meme or something and they are using it as blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go and report it? At a police station?
At a police station. So there would be a number of criminal offences. The first would be extortion. So sextortion, probably the single biggest issue that's dominated my year in the last year, where somebody solicits private content out of you or, as I was just talking about, creates fake content of
fake
you.
Fake one.
And then starts extorting you and either says, send me the real deal, otherwise this is going to go viral, or send me money. Now, we're not dealing with somebody in a back room in Centurion. We are dealing with high-level international organized criminal syndicates. These guys are so jacked up and so clever and so patient. So it's not like they meet you online and immediately ask you for this content. They'll win your trust. And they'll be wherever you are, whether that's LinkedIn or a gaming chat room or Discord or Snapchat or TikTok or Instagram. And as soon as they've won your trust, they solicit this kind of content. And then they start extorting you. And it's not for e-wallet, which is what we used to see. It's for international money transfers, usually Bitcoin, because these are international syndicates. And the ring that we're dealing with at the moment, what they do is they will send that picture or video to a few people. Usually they'll find out, sort of looking at your Instagram, for example, see who you are close to, send that content to a few people to know that to make you understand that they're actually being serious.
They mean business.
Exactly. And then people panic. And it's a difficult crime because often the victim, if they have sent content to somebody they've met online, is ashamed. You know, often they're thinking, oh gosh, how was I so stupid?
Yeah.
That they're slow to get help.
But and if it's fake, there's nothing you did.
100%. But even if you did send somebody a nude, get help. You know, don't think that there aren't any options because there's this non-consensual criminal offense. And so you'll see that as a result of the Taylor Swift thing, there's been so many calls in the States for new legislation to deal with deepfakes. But actually, our laws in South Africa, which are brand spanking new, make provision for fake content. So whether somebody is sharing a private sexual photo of you, which is real, or fabricated, there was actually a case in August last year where a 34-year-old guy in Pietermaritzburg was arrested by the Hawks on the basis that he had created a private sexual photo. It involved three people. It was a threesome. On the face of the one body, he photoshopped the face of Cyril Ramaphosa. On the second body, the face of Bekele.
Oh.
And on the third body, the face of Bekele's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And sent it to a few people. And he's facing these criminal charges, which shows you how our laws can be used in the instances
of fake. That's amazing to hear. Because my big question was, can we catch them?
Yeah.
Are they being caught? And you saying yes.
Well, often it's difficult, but certainly it's sort of, I want to say playground level. You know, what we're seeing with the kids, and particularly primary school kids, we very quickly find out who they are. And of course,
really?
if the content is created by a child or of a child, then there are additional offenses because it's child pornography.
Are people being jailed for this?
Yes, yes. We're seeing it. It takes a while because the law is new, but yes.
But the law is new, but the law is there.
It's there.
And people think it's not there.
Yeah.
And they think people are not being caught. And people think there are no convictions. Well, we're here to tell you this morning that they are, and it is. Emma, sadly, on the show this morning, we've got a lot to talk about. I need to get to your questions as well for Emma. Emma, sadly, is South Africa's leading expert on social media law. She's founded a company, the Digital Law Company, back in 2013, I think it was, more than 10 years ago, and busier than ever because these issues are bigger and more prevalent than ever before. If you have dealt with this, or you fear that you could be dealing with this, keep listening, because there's stuff that you need to know, South Africa. More about that coming up.
You're with your Auburn family. Breakfast with Martin Bester.
I'm telling you now, this is news, and it is important news, whether you're a parent, an adult, just anybody. We are talking to Emma Sadley on the show this morning. She is a social media law expert. Does baie ding wat mense doen wat hulle dink dit is okay om te doen. But just to recap, what are criminal offences in our country? In other words, you don't have to go and launch a protracted lawsuit against each other. You can go to a police station. It's like someone stealing from you. It's like someone killing someone.
Yes.
Those are criminal offences.
Got you, okay.
What, in terms of social media and all that, are criminal offences?
So there are really two ways the law gets involved in your life. The first is criminal, right? It's when the police come and arrest you. It's you against the state. The sanction would be a jail time, a fine, those kinds of things. So in the real world, it's murder, rape, robbery, theft. In the online world, we have a whole range of criminal offences.
And this is all new.
A lot of them are new because what we used to do is apply all these disparate laws and try to apply them to these new platforms.
But
now we have the Cyber Crimes Act, which is brand spanking new in legal terms.
Listen to this.
It's about 2 years old. And in the Cyber Crimes Act, what they've tried to do is put all the criminal laws that apply to the online world under one umbrella. So we've got things in there like hacking. Hacking is a criminal offence. Password abuse, extortion, most commonly in South Africa, sextortion. But we see all sorts of types of extortion. Non-consensual distribution of intimate images. We have a crime in South Africa called criminanuria, which is probably my favourite and the one I use the most in my practice. Because it's what you need to show is that somebody has seriously infringed your dignity. So we can use it in racism cases, as we've seen in Vicky Momberg, Penny Sparrow, Adam Katsavolis, Valapi Kumalo. We've seen a lot of criminanuria cases in South Africa. For racism, there's been one for anti-Semitism. There was a guy called Mr. Letswalo who tweeted to the South African Jewish Board of Deputies that the Holocaust would be like a picnic when we're done with all you Zionist beeps, all of you. 28,000 rand fine, 5-year suspended prison sentence, criminal record.
Criminal record.
That's the thing. And the joy of using a criminal offence is that you don't have to spend your money to go off to court in a civil suit.
You can report it.
You report it and it's in the hands of the police and the prosecutors. We have seen criminaluria offences being prosecuted for cyberbullying. For example, in the case of Soyanda Mbuli, somebody posted about her that she was a stupid beep and then posted her cell phone number and said, please can somebody go and find her a blesser. So she stops phoning my boyfriend asking him for money. Now, she thought better of it and she deleted it quite quickly, but it was too late. Oyanda Mbuli had her screenshot. She went off here to the Midrand police station and there was two prosecutions. Her criminal sentence was a 6,000 rand fine, 350 hours of community service. She had to attend an 8-week adult life skills program, a program for adulting. Who knew?
Criminal record?
Criminal record. And the criminal in that case was actually studying law. Now she's got a criminal record.
Now try and get a job as a... Yeah.
Well, it's not impossible. There's lots of dodgy lawyers out there.
That's why I stopped talking.
So the thing about criminal capacity, Martin, and that this is very important, is that everybody in South Africa has this idea that until you're an adult, until you're 18... the law doesn't really apply to you, right? And that's not the case. In South Africa, from 14, you have full criminal capacity. From 12, it's dependent. So if you're 12 or 13 years old, the police will look at you and say, how educated are you? How mature are you? Should you be able to appreciate the consequences of your actions? Should you be able to know the difference between right and wrong? The 12-year-olds of today are pretty jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're old enough to have a cell phone, a smartphone, you're old enough to commit a criminal offense.
So hang on now. What you're saying is if you're 12 years old and you think it's okay to spread an ugly picture or an ugly meme with someone's face on a WhatsApp group, you could face criminal charges.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just let that sink in for a second. Because I think, I mean, there are adults walking around with completely misguided sense of what they're entitled to doing on social media.
Yeah.
There are children more so that think you're just going to be naughty if you spread ugly images, ugly memes, ugly stickers of someone.
Or you might just get some detention.
No, but that's not the case. It is a crime from 12 on.
Can I ask, because I'm thinking now as a 12-year-old, what does that really mean for me, though? If I've now got a criminal charge against me, what are the consequences of that? What will happen?
In general, what we see is community service. You would have to obviously appear in court as an accused person. We had it nearby here. There was a case. It's a fairly old case now. It was at Waterkloof High School. And there were three teenage boys who created a picture, a very, very badly photoshopped picture. It was actually only one of the boys who created the picture, of two naked men sitting on a couch and then photoshopped badly, not like the deepfake AI stuff we're seeing now. It was a rubbish Photoshop job. The face of his principal onto the one body, the face of the deputy principal onto the other body, and then he took the school's logo and he placed it over their private parts.
Ooh.
And then he sent it to his best friend who sent it on, and the whole school had it. So in that case, there was a criminal case and the boys pleaded guilty. And they got 200 hours of community service at the Pretoria Zoo. They had to go and clean cages every Saturday morning. But remember, the criminal laws are only one of the ways the law gets involved in your life. The other is civil, which is when, and we call it civil because it's between civilians, right?
Yeah.
So it's when I sue you or you sue me. Now, the boys were then sued by the deputy headmaster for defamation. It went all the way to the Constitutional Court, who even they found, the High Court, the Supreme Court, the Constitutional Court, all agreed that this was defamation. And in South Africa, the age of civil capacity, the age at which you can sue and be sued, is 7.
What?
Yeah.
So the parents have to pay.
So, I've got a Swedish friend whose favorite line is, that means you must pay. But yes, yes, in some instances. You know,
if your 8-year-old does something stupid,
you could be sued as a parent.
Well, the child could be sued, but presumably you would cough up. So obviously when children are concerned, we prefer to try and deal with these matters without taking it to court. So what I would often do is if I've got a child who's being harassed, threatened, stalked, bullied, the victim of image-based violence, and they come to me, the first thing I would do is to write a pretty scary letter of demand to the child concerned, explaining all the laws, and then saying, look, we need a hand. I always ask for a handwritten apology, and you can see. I mean, these kids are young. They can hardly, you know, it's amazing.
If they're smart enough to use a smartphone.
100%. Yeah. So I always ask for a handwritten apology, an undertaking that it's going to stop, a written undertaking that it's going to stop, and then they must delete all content. Any content they may still have on any of their devices, cloud storage, etc. And that usually is enough, you know, because we can give them the scare, and often I copy the school to make sure the school's aware of it.
It's serious.
Yeah.
It is serious. Just going back to, you said something along the lines of sharing content.
Yes.
So let's say, for instance, someone else made the ugly meme or sticker or picture. Something demeaning, something ugly and nasty towards someone.
Yeah.
You just sharing it, you're also in danger.
Absolutely.
Of the law.
Yeah, so in South Africa we have something called the chain of publication.
Okay.
Which basically means that every single person sharing content is legally responsible for it. So if you send me a racist meme and I press forward, I become legally responsible for it.
Okay.
Now, but we can even take this a step further, because in South African law, if you have the ability to stop something from being published and you don't,
and
you're
don't.
Also legally responsible for it. So if somebody puts a terrorist beheading video or child pornography onto my Facebook page, I have the ability to delete it. Now, I'm not responsible until I'm aware of it. But the second I become aware of it and I have the ability to delete it, I'm legally responsible
so
for it.
So just even leaving it there.
Exactly. But now, as of about 18 months ago, WhatsApp updated its settings. And if you're on a WhatsApp group, if you're the admin of a WhatsApp group, you have the ability to delete for everyone messages sent on that group. Which means legally, if you're aware that there are illegal, offensive messages on the group and you're the admin, you have a legal duty to delete it. Otherwise, you become legally responsible because you provide the billboard. You provide the platform. It was quite nicely explained, I thought, by Judge Satchwell in a case years ago involving the Dutch Reformed Church. And she said that if you have a Facebook page, it's like having a big green felt notice board and encouraging members of the public to come and stick their scrappy pieces of paper on that board.
Oh, if there are three words that turn my stomach, delete for me. Because then you know it's too late. Listen, we're going to come back. There are so many questions coming in, including this one.
Ek wil graag weet, in julle opinie, wanneer is die regter ouderdom vir 'n kind om 'n selfoon te kry?
Oh, the all-important question. At what age should a child have a smartphone? Coming up.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester. Jacaranda FM.
Our special guest on the show this morning is Emma Sadlier. Emma is a social media law expert, and she has brought important news. I'm excited about the new laws, because I think for too long people have been getting away with posting and even liking comments and things on social media and WhatsApp groups that are bad for people's mental health, that is bad for people's reputation, that is bad for people's image. People have been getting away with it in this country and in the world because they think they can. You can't. Things have been criminalized.
Yeah.
It's a crime to do that. You don't need to go and hire an expensive lawyer necessarily, or an advocate, to take up a civil lawsuit. It's a crime. You can go and report it at a police station, and you can open a case, right?
And it's why I encourage people of influence to take legal action, because if you are the victim of an online harm and you do something to protect yourself, then the message gets given loud and clear to the teenager who has been the victim of an online harm, usually horrible cyberbullying, that they don't have to suffer in silence, that they don't have to contemplate suicide as the only way out, because there are laws that protect. It's one of the reasons, I mean, I was talking about this recently, Basetsana Khumalo and her husband Romeo have just been very successful in a criminal case against Jackie Pamotse, who tweeted absolute fake news. I mean, just horrible, completely no basis to it. She admitted in the dock in cross-examination that there was no truth to the allegations that she tweeted. It was about Romeo Khumalo performing a sexual act on an underage child. I mean, just like, it was just nonsense. And it took them a long time, but they saw it through. And following granting a protection order, which is not something we've actually spoken about, which is another very useful legal tool, and also something that you don't need expensive lawyers for. If you or your child is being bullied, threatened, stalked, harassed, you can go off to the magistrate's court. You go to the clerk of the court. They give you a form. You explain how you're being harassed in the real world or online. You have to show that there's harm or a fear of harm, but it can be mental, emotional, psychological harm. So we're dealing squarely with cyberbullying. And they will give you an interim protection order. And if that person so much as sends you an SMS again, they can be arrested. Now, children are able to go and get this order. So in the Kumalo case, Basitsana Kumalo got this protection order. And then Jackie Pomotse wrote a book called I Tweet What I Like.
Mm.
And on the cover of the book, included the case number of the protection order. And then she was held guilty of contempt of court as well, because she just didn't give a damn about the court ruling. She's been given 2 years of house arrest, plus fines, plus 16 hours of community service a month, plus.
Criminal record.
And a serious criminal record. 2 years of house arrest.
Go and try and travel. Well, house arrest. What counts as cyberbullying? Because I think we use the phrase quite freely. What does it mean? What does it look like?
So for me, it's where there is harm caused, which can be mental, emotional, psychological harm.
Can it be done in a joke?
This is the default excuse. When people mess up, they say one of two things. I was joking or I was hacked. Right? Now, with the kids, they're exploring humor, and humor is important. We live in tough times. We must be able to laugh. We must be able to laugh at ourselves, at each other, but not where it causes someone harm. So what I often talk about when I'm speaking at schools is the importance of tone in digital messages, which is hard, but emojis help. So if I send you a message, Martin, saying, I'm going to kill you, or I send you a message saying, I'm going to kill you with 20 laughing emojis, those are completely different messages. So I've been talking literally for a decade about what I call the billboard test. And I say to the kids, before you make that joke, you know, maybe you call your friend, he's got a pizza face because he's got such acne. Would you put it on a billboard next to the highway? Would everyone driving past know you were joking? No. And would that victim know you were joking? No. And that's for me the litmus test. And it sounds a little bit of a, you know, sounds a bit of a killjoy handbrake test. But humor is important. But there's a difference between harm and humor. So be careful, because that was it, that case that went all the way to the Constitutional Court, to the Walter Kloof case. That was the boys were joking. You know, it's
not a joke.
But a joke can sometimes cause harm.
It's just not a joke.
You've got to be careful. It's certainly not a magic wand just to say, oh no, but I was joking.
And the court decided it wasn't a joke.
Correct.
All right. Good luck answering this question.
Ek wil graag weet. In julle opinie, wanneer is die regter ouderdom vir 'n kind om 'n selfoon te kry?
I'm not a parent, but my answer would be 18. Maybe that's why I'm not a parent.
Look, phones are a part of our lives now. And I have been shouting from the rooftops to anybody who will listen to me that smartphones should be outright banned in primary school, 13 at an absolute minimum. The only real reason kids are getting smartphones younger than that is peer pressure, because they come home and they say, but mummy, I'm the only one in my whole grade 6 class who's not on the WhatsApp group and I'm being alienated. Now, that is a legit reason, which is why parents all have to get together and say, look, we are all holding out. And I have been shouting this from the rooftops forever, and I spoke at a school last year, grade 6s and 7s, and I walked in, 200 kids, I said, who's got a phone? Thinking it would be, I speak at a school every day. Exactly like it is at all schools, 95% of them. Two kids in the whole room put up their hand. And they were laughed at. And I got goosebumps. I was just like, it's possible.
That's
amazing. So we all have to hold out. I do just want to say, if your child needs a phone for communication, to phone you to say the swimming gala's cancelled, get them a dumb phone.
Get
them an old 3210. They can play Snake. But the smartphone is where the danger. And the worst content I see is in the age group 10 to 14.
I'm shocked. You have primary school kids of that age.
It's such a big thing
for
me.
What is your opinion?
I had decided my daughter will only get one at 16. I did concede and bow to peer pressure. She's got a phone. She hasn't got a SIM card in it. The day she needs to get hold of me, she can walk to the office and call me. Schools all have telephones. There's no need for her to have a phone with her at school. Absolutely not. I was also the parent a couple of years ago, the start of the year, who said, if we all agree as parents that none of our kids have phones, or they put them in lock them away and they can get them after school, then it's done. We have the power
to
do this.
How do you, as an adult and a parent, knowing of these horrors that we are discussing this morning and how prevalent it is, how can you not make that decision?
You have to make a
decision. It's like giving your 12-year-old keys to a car and say good luck to you.
Yeah.
And not teaching them what the risks are, what the issues are. Now, there's a reason that we don't let 12-year-olds drive cars. I asked this at a talk recently. I asked these kids, why don't we let 12-year-olds drive cars? This little kid says to me, because we're too small, ma'am. I was like, that's so sweet, but we could make smaller cars. No, it's because your brain just hasn't developed yet. And it's not to say you're not a clever kid, but that frontal lobe where you just make the decisions with the impulse control just hasn't developed yet. It's not your fault, but it hasn't developed yet.
I don't have kids, but the effect that this device has on my mental health, my confidence.
Yeah.
Yes.
My state of mind,
yeah.
My mood
as an adult,
as an adult,
yeah.
As an adult, I cannot imagine giving this device in the hands of a child.
The damage
for me is unfathomable. This is so hard. Yeah. This thing makes your life so hard sometimes.
Thank you.
It really does.
Yeah.
Now, giving this to someone, you need a license for this thing.
You should.
Actually, my last book, I called it the K53 to owning a smartphone.
All right, we're going to get to some more questions in a moment. Emma Sadlier, social media legal expert on the show this morning. Oh, ek ken al sien ons gaan dit tyd uitkoop en ek het 100 vrae nog. Ek seker van almal het nog 100 vrae because now we haven't even touched on companies. But let's see how we go. Last couple of questions coming in. Let me know, please, on 084-850-0942.
Breakfast with Martin Bester. 6 to 9 weekdays. Jacaranda FM.
Oh man, if you just tune in now, you've missed a whole lot, but we'll make sure that this is on audio on demand. Emma Sadlier, our guest on the show this morning, we're talking about social media, WhatsApp groups, and the laws, the new laws in this country around that. If you thought that you can say what you like, if you thought you can share what you like, if you thought you can even just like what you like, you're wrong. There are laws. These are criminal offenses. You can go to a police station. And yes, you can talk about prosecution and stuff. Just our whole process of having cops knock at your door or cases being opened or appearing at a police station or a court. Trust me, it's not what you want for you, your family, or even your children.
If something like this happens and you go to your local police station and they do not want to open a case against the child or the other individual, how do you go about that from there?
Emma said, yeah.
So it's not a question of they don't want to. They have to. These are criminal offences. And of course, the issue with these new laws is that they are only as good as the enforcement. And the reality is that a lot of the police, the NPA, are not equipped to deal with these kinds of issues because of various reasons. You know, I was involved in a case where we were trying to get content removed from Twitter, and I went to the police station and they didn't even have internet. You know, they weren't able to send the law enforcement takedown to the American company because they didn't have the material. So obviously that is a big issue. Getting somebody to hold your hand through the process can help. Going to a police station, which is a bit more jacked up, can help. And, you know, often it's why I say let's do as a first point of call, write this aggressive letter, a cease and desist letter, seeking what we want, because sometimes that means we don't have to go through the court process because courts are horrible places.
If you're just tuning in, it's also informed opinion and popular opinion. Well, actually, maybe it should be more popular than it is, that children at primary school level should not have access to smartphones, especially not during school time.
100%.
You mentioned something about some schools locking it away in lockers. Mm. Does that help?
That's even at high school. So what we're seeing is an international trend, certainly lots of places in the UK, whole states in Australia, have made schools phone free. So that means you can bring your phone to school. And I was at a principal's conference recently, and one of the top schools in Joburg, he was telling me that over 30% of the kids Uber from school. So you've got to have a phone if you're Ubering from school. But he locks the phones away. So there's literally a locker. They arrive at school. Everyone puts their phones in the locker and they don't access them until they finish school for the day. And what we've seen so far, and it's kind of anecdotal evidence at this stage, is the kids are happier. They're more engaged in class. Academically, they're doing much better. And at break time, the principals are just saying to me, it's so noisy because the kids are actually talking to each other again. They're playing soccer. Mm-hmm. They're getting out there. They're getting their hands dirty. They're speaking to each other, which is a skill that a lot of kids are losing, because they don't just spend their whole break time staring at that phone looking at TikTok.
Social pressure is already something to deal with when you're a teenager. Imagine now, social pressure plus social media because social media takes it much further. It makes it much bigger.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine that. I really couldn't. And if you're the adult, I don't think you should be putting your children through it.
No, you're trying to not match up with peers. You're trying to match up with people sitting somewhere overseas who earn millions of dollars a year. One. And then two, the cell phones themselves. Why are parents buying 30,000 rand phones for their kids?
We could keep you here for another couple of hours.
We might need to.
Because now we haven't even touched on companies. Yeah. We haven't even touched on what's happening at companies firing people for what they say on their social media and what they say on WhatsApp. We haven't even touched on that. So I'm going to ask you very nicely to make time for us again in the near future. Okay? Because now I've thrown forward to it. Now there's an expectation.
Yeah.
This is called emotional blackmail.
Yeah.
Emma Sadlier. But there are a couple of very important takeaways if you missed the show this morning. And it's about if you thought that you can post stuff, like stuff, and share stuff and get away with it, that is damaging to other people, you are wrong. In this country, it has been criminalized. You can go to a police station and you can report someone because it's a crime. And I want you please to go listen to the podcasts. Share that along on WhatsApp groups. Mm. Not rubbish.
Yes.
We're going to try and make it bite-sized for you so you can go and share that on those WhatsApp groups.
Yeah.
What is your message to people on WhatsApp groups?
Treat it like you're publishing it on the front page of the newspaper. In South Africa, as soon as content has been seen by one other person, it doesn't matter whether it's 3 people or 3 million people, we treat it legally as if it's been published on the front page of the newspaper, said on radio, put on a billboard next to the highway.
But okay, now you're on a WhatsApp group and there are people who make jokes that are not cool, that are damaging, that could be racist, that could be sexist, that could be homophobic, that could be whatever the case may be. Mm. What do? You're not saying it. But you're on the group.
I call them out. So for me, there's two options. If you're on a group, something dodgy is going on, you have two options. The one is to say something. The other is to leave the group, get out of Dodge. Now, some groups we have to be on, right? My security WhatsApp group in my neighborhood. And if the dude in number 32 sends a racist meme, I'm not going to leave the group because I need to know what's going on. But I am going to say something. I'm going to say, that's not acceptable, not cool. Or I'd call the administrator and say, what are you doing about this? I'm a big fan of WhatsApp group guidelines. And I just want to warn everybody, because we haven't had time to get into the employment stuff, but how many people I'm seeing being fired or disciplinary action being taken because of what they're sharing on their WhatsApp profile picture, their WhatsApp status, and their WhatsApp stories. There's something about WhatsApp that makes it feel like we're sitting around with our mates having a glass of wine and a chat.
It's not.
It's not. And if you ever use your WhatsApp to communicate on behalf of your business, so if your cell phone number's on your business card, or you're talking to clients, or you've got WhatsApp groups, work WhatsApp groups, or WhatsApp groups with your clients, you treat that as if it's your work email address. There's nothing about the platform which changes the obligations. And I'm seeing we're going into a very hot political climate. The elections, what's going on in the Middle East, people are very polarized, very passionate. Vaccinations, a lot of politics. I mean, we're entering the political era, you know, in South Africa, in America. People have very strongly held opinions. Ask yourself, would you put it on a billboard next to your name, your face, and the name of your company, your big clients, customers? Yeah. If you wouldn't, nowhere on WhatsApp.
And kids, if you missed the part about you being on WhatsApp groups, we'll definitely post that part as well, particularly on audio on demand on jacarandafm.com, and make it easy for you to share that. Ek dink almal moet dit weet. Emma Sadlier, wow, thank you very much. I know that made you late for a number of meetings, but I hope it was worth. Thank you very much for coming in, and please do it again.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Breakfast with Martin Bester. Driving you to work every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m.